In today's episode of Crypto Over Coffee, we're talking about what happens when the last Bitcoin is mined. What happens when we get that final BTC of the 21 million that will ever exist? Will the network collapse entirely? Will its economic security be compromised? Or will it be just fine and nothing will happen? We're going to talk about all these different scenarios, why this is a thing, what might happen after this happens, and we're going to wrap it all up at the end with a little bit of speculation, which who doesn't like a little speculation? So please make sure you get subscribed, follow me on the podcast platform of your choice, and let's dive into the video. Now, I want to thank the sponsor of today's episode of Crypto Over Coffee, iTrust Capital, which is my go-to place for cryptocurrency individual retirement accounts, or IRAs. Now, I have a personal IRA with iTrust Capital, and I trade in that account tax-free on a day-to-day basis, being able to take advantage of the daily moves of cryptocurrency. And depending on your specific tax situation and the type of IRA that you choose, you may be able to defer or make capital gains tax-free when you take distributions from the account. Please check out iTrust Capital using the link below and make sure you consult a tax or accounting professional so that you can get the best advice for what fits your situation the best. What do we mean by when the last Bitcoin is mined? For anyone who may not even be familiar with this concept, let's discuss. So, you probably know if you're clicking on this video that Bitcoin is a finite and scarce asset. There will only be 21 million BTC units to ever exist. And this is something that is enforced at the protocol level. Thousands of nodes in the network, independent computers running the Bitcoin software, are enforcing this rule actively in participation in the Bitcoin network. And so people who say, oh, you can just flip a switch and change the supply, you cannot do that. It doesn't work like that. Okay, so let's just put that whole concept to the side. Now, the way that new BTC is released into circulation is through the process of mining. And mining is the foundational component or the foundational generator of economic security for the Bitcoin network. So the only way that new transactions are appended to the chain in blocks, that's why it's called a blockchain. It's a chain of blocks filled with transactions. The only way that those blocks are mined or minted is through mining. And these are basically those same nodes, those computers that we talked about. They're running a piece of software that guesses randomly billions and trillions of times to find a target value. And that takes a lot of compute power. That compute power introduces costs. And so that cost is what drives economic security. It's all of these computers chasing a cryptographic value that they're trying to find, and spending a lot of money on compute and energy in the process. And one of them is the winner. They find a value that matches this criteria, and that is called proof of work. They prove, I've done the work to find this value. You can all verify it in the network. And now I, the winner of this proof of work puzzle, have the ability, the responsibility of appending a new block filled with transactions to the Bitcoin blockchain. And this happens on average every 10 minutes, right? Onwards and onwards and onwards we go. What happens when a block is mined is that the miner who does it and who has done the work to mine that block gets a reward. And that's called the block subsidy. The block subsidy is today 6.25 Bitcoin per block mined. That is basically payment. That's remuneration for the work that the miner has done for the network. This is the only way that new Bitcoin supply is released into circulation, right? So people talk about Bitcoin wasn't a pre-mine. That basically means Bitcoin supply has been released gradually by way of inflation through this block subsidy since its inception in 2009. And so what this means is that we have a general target date for when the last Bitcoin, the last BTC unit of that 21 million total supply, when that will be made available through the process of mining. Now, there's one further detail that we need to talk about, and it's very relevant actually to about the time frame I'm posting this video, and that is the Bitcoin halving. The halving is also a protocol-enforced rule where every 210,000 blocks, or generally in human time, every 4 years, the inflation rate, or the rate of supply released into circulation up to that cap in Bitcoin, is cut in half. And so in the next couple weeks, at the time of filming this video, there will be another halving in the Bitcoin network. And that means that instead of 6.25 Bitcoin being released into supply for every new block to a miner, it will be 3.125 that gets released into circulation. So that's halving the amount of Bitcoin that's made available, thus sort of slowing down the curve to when we reach the maximum supply and the block subsidy no longer exists. But what people are concerned about now is that when the Bitcoin supply cap is hit, what will incentivize miners to do their job, to secure the network, to spend all this money making it impossible to attack the network because no one could afford to do it? What's going to happen? Will miners just shut down because it's no longer worth it? They're not going to get rewards. You know, what happens? And when do we need to worry about this? Is this going to be something we got to worry about soon? The answer is we don't have to worry about this soon. And unless there's some medical advancement, likely it's not going to be a problem for you or I to solve, because ultimately the final Bitcoin is going to be released into circulation on or around 2140. Okay, so we've got some time to figure this out. That's an estimate, of course, but we have some time to figure this out. But is there a mechanism already in place to cover our bases with regard to this? So when all the Bitcoin is mined and there's no more left for miners, what do we do? So there are a handful of different theories. There are a handful of maybe sort of speculative models around what might happen. We're going to talk about some of those today. For one, people talk a lot about how slow Bitcoin is, how small Bitcoin blocks are, how few transactions you can push through the network at any given time. And you know what? It increasingly seems like this was deliberate, right? I say that almost sarcastically for people who are Bitcoin OGs. They'll probably be sitting in their chair nodding their head. Why is that deliberate? Why would it be beneficial in this context for Bitcoin blocks to be small, for there to be very finite block space for transactions? Well, because in order to prioritize your transaction in a block, you will pay a fee. The higher your fee, the more likely miners are to include your transaction in a block. And that makes sense, right? It's a fee market after all. They're going to probably go with what makes the most sense for them. But why? Why do miners care what fee you're paying? Because they get that fee if they mine that block. So they're going to pack a block filled with, generally, as long as it meets the protocol rules, each transaction does, they're going to fill a block with the highest fee paid transactions because it benefits the miner the most. So that means the fee market gets driven largely by the finite block space that's available and people's demand for their transactions to be mined in a timely fashion. So how is this relevant right now? Let's say that the demand for Bitcoin and the usage of Bitcoin continues to grow year over year over year over year. And in the fullness of time, we get to 2140, the block subsidy is gone. Now miners have to make ends meet with exclusively transaction fees. So that means Bitcoin needs to be worth a good amount of money, and transaction fees need to be high enough to adequately compensate and incentivize miners to continue mining. Now, there's the other part of this curve, which is the commoditization of electricity, which is the main sunk cost involved in mining, right? There is hardware cost, but that's capital expense up front. There's the continuous variable cost around electricity. So let's assume that by 2140, there is sort of provable, never-ending supply of renewable energy, which I have a feeling will happen long before 2140. You take that one aspect away and say, you know, electricity costs very little now to produce. So it changes the economic model, right? It may not cost as much for the individual miner in order to participate in the network at a reasonable scale with a reasonable probability of mining a block. So that's the other aspect. May not cost as much. So let's think about this. Transaction fees. A lot of people have controversial views around whether transaction fees are actually going to be enough or not. For one, the finite block space and the demand for that block space being likely to increase, I think, is one reason why it probably will be enough. The other is another controversial topic, which is ordinals and BRC20s, basically arbitrary data in Bitcoin transactions that take up additional resources and space in blocks and drive up fees. In a way, you could think about this like a benefit in the long tail, because if this is the case, these transaction fees continue to grow, these miners are then more adequately incentivized in the absence of a block subsidy to continue mining because they're getting even more fees. You're driving up the fees and it's helping these miners continue to do this because it makes economic sense for them to do it. Now, there is, beyond that somewhat boring explanation of what might happen, transaction fees, and people say, that's not that exciting. That's built in from the beginning. Yeah, it was. There is another more speculative and interesting concept to think about that could materialize. And that is potentially there being a Bitcoin treasury to produce what would eventually be an additional set of emissions or an additional set of subsidies to let miners mine longer and longer after the last Bitcoin has been released to supply. The theory, and there's, again, controversy around this. There are holes in this, but I would want to share it with you anyway because I find it personally interesting to think about how this could even be facilitated. We all know that Satoshi Nakamoto, the pseudonymous creator of Bitcoin, the anonymous creator of Bitcoin, whoever or whatever that or they or whomever that is, has a huge trove of Bitcoin that hasn't moved since the creation, essentially, of Bitcoin. Since Satoshi Nakamoto disappeared to God knows where, we haven't seen that Bitcoin move. Now, the theory, and this is in the depths of Reddit, the depths of forums, is the theory that this Bitcoin lying dormant is actually a backup plan. It's a backup treasury to formulate additional economic security subsidy in the event that it is that transaction fees are not enough. So, in theory, this Bitcoin then becomes a treasury for miners to be continually incentivized. So, basically, paying miners from this trove of Bitcoin that's been set aside and dormant at future value, which we are making assumptions, of course, that is much higher than it is today in 2140. So the theory being, Satoshi Nakamoto sets aside a treasury of Bitcoin as a contingency plan in the case that by 2140, the economic model is not in alignment. Transaction fees will not cover the incentive for mining and build economic security. And therefore, we need some form of additional subsidy to continue moving the network forward. Interesting concept. The question is, how could this be done in a way that's not centralized? That's the difficult part for me to grasp. I'm not sure how it could be done, potentially through a Bitcoin core-based multisig amongst the entire network. Really hard to coordinate something like that. Do we really want a centralized, potentially individual or group, be it Satoshi Nakamoto or something or someone else, with the keys to something of that magnitude? Probably not. So I'm not saying this is likely, but I think it's an interesting thought experiment to think about in the back of your mind as you're mulling this over. The last thing I want to mention, and this is the final sort of theory that people have, is that because of the threat to the Bitcoin network that may materialize when the block subsidy expires and there's no more Bitcoin left to issue to miners, that you'll have to form a tail emission. Now, and it kind of relates to what I mentioned with the theory around the Satoshi treasury, right? But a tail emission would be actually modifying the total supply of Bitcoin to formulate a tail emission, meaning to add additional subsidy to the network to inflate the supply of Bitcoin. Now, I don't think that there's any way that the network on a majority basis would ever agree to do this, because it would have cataclysmic effects on the value of BTC, and that the network is designed pretty much explicitly to disincentivize that exact behavior, which is to change the supply of Bitcoin or change those fundamental rules, because it would devalue the network currency of BTC heavily. So there are people who think that inflation is the only way to accomplish this. So to increase the supply and then issue new BTC to pay for mining and to pay for economic security. I don't agree with this. I don't think it's going to happen. I think anyone who's saying this is maybe coming from a place of misunderstanding or overestimating the driving force of greed behind the mining process. I actually really think that transaction fees will be enough, but even if they're not, I don't think tail emissions will be the answer in the long term. So I know this video is speculative. I know this video is theoretical, because we have over 100 years to figure this out. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we have theories around what might happen. Now, to answer the question that I opened the loop at the very beginning of the show, will this destroy Bitcoin? My personal view is it will not. I believe that Bitcoin has been designed appropriately to accommodate this big change that will happen when the final BTC is released into circulation. But I may not be around to find out. So hopefully my kid will find out, and he'll be able to teach his kid about it. So we'll see what happens. I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on what happens when the final Bitcoin is mined. I want to hear your thoughts about whether you think it is an existential threat to Bitcoin and if things need to be changed in order to plan ahead for this. So thank you very much for watching. Hope you and your family have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend. And until next time, cheers.